Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm the speaker of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it, no matter what you may be going through today, no matter what trials may have confronted you of yesterday or when you got up this morning. But yet we will magnify the Lord. We will give him praise and glory. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Make that long-distance call. Whatever you may need to do, let someone know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. Well, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And why don't you come and go with us as we pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Certainly, we magnify your name. God, we thank you because you are God, and because you are God all by yourself. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the true and the living God. Father, today we proclaim that you have all power in your hand. Yes, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, above all that we think. But there is nothing too hard for you. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving. We enter into your courts with praises, and we bless your name. We thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. And this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Well, we are excited about today's message, and we thank God for today's message. We're going to talk about the woman of Samaria, and that is taken from John, the fourth chapter, and we're going to begin at that first verse. And when, therefore, the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. In other words, it was a necessary mission for him to go through Samaria. Then comes he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being weary, he was tired with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was the sixth hour when Jesus sat upon the well, by the well, because he, the word of God tells us that he was weary from his journey. And then there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." But his disciples were going away to the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaria. Wow, we see a clash. We see here that the Jews and the Samarians didn't get along. And she wondered in her, why was Jesus, a Jew, asking her to give him, or even talking to her and asking her to give him a drink? She did not understand where he was coming from, because she knew that in the natural, the Jews didn't even speak to them. They had no dealing with them because she was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. I mean, he began to conversate. See, what you need to know is that I just don't believe that Jesus just appeared there. Because in the word it says it was a need, it was necessary that he go to Samaria. See, there was somebody that needed Jesus. That was somebody that needed to know him. There was somebody that needed to know that their sins could be forgiven. He was there at the well, but he was on a mission. He was there because he was concerned about this woman. He knew that she needed him. She knew, he knew that she needed a Savior. She needed a Lord. She needed to know him. And no matter if he was a Jew, it didn't matter. You see, God does not have any respect of person. You know, like we have respect of persons at times, of who we're going to talk to, or who we're going to associate with, or who we're going to break bread with. Some people that we are choosy, and sometimes we don't spend time with those that we ought to spend time with because we are prejudiced, because of the fact that we don't want them in our company. And sometimes we think that we are much better than that individual that we see day to day. But Jesus came to Samaria because he loved this woman, and he loved it. He loved people. So the word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's the drunkard, that's the prostitute, that's the person on Wall Street, that's the person that you see every day, that you're working with, that's the person that you turn your nose up at, that's the person that Jesus died for, and that's the person that Jesus wants to be saved. So as we said here, that Jesus had asked her for some water. And she was so amazed because, hey, he is asking, he's talking to me, and he asking me for some water. And then he's telling me that he's going to give me some living water. What is living water? And the woman said to her, sir, you have nothing to draw with. So she didn't understand. She was thinking in a carnality. Because she didn't understand what Jesus was saying to her. Oh, I see you, but I don't see a bucket. I don't see a rope. You don't have anything to draw any water with to give to me, to give me that living water. She's thinking about, you know, this well is deep. How in the world are you going to give me some water? How are you going to give me that living water? She said, are you greater then our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. In other words, whosoever that drink of the water that you came to draw, and if you come so often to draw water, you're going to thirst again. They're going to thirst again. That's why you continually to come, to draw the water. But he's saying to her, he's saying, but whosoever drank of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Listen, in him, not in the well, but in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. I mean, that's something to shout glory for. Why don't you say glory, glory? The woman said to him, sir, give. She got interested. I mean, Jesus got her attention. She wanted this living water that she didn't have to come and to be able to draw water. And see, she still didn't really get it. But she wanted him to give her his water. See, she came at a certain time because of her lifestyle, the way that she lived, and people wasn't so much conversating with her, not just because she was a Samaritan, but because of her lifestyle. You know how it is sometimes when you find a person that been accused of something, you don't want to have anything to do with them, or you don't want to talk to them, or you don't want to be friendly with them, or you're not going to witness to them, because you just like sometimes Jonah didn't want to go, and when God had sent him to Nineveh to be able to preach and to be able to give them a word that God was going to destroy that city in 40 days, he didn't want them really to repent. Because he thought about the ugly and the terrible things that the Ninevites did and how brutal that they were. So, you know, these are people that they have to deserve to go to hell. They deserve not to be saved. They deserve for God to destroy them. And that is not the mentality that God wants for his people in this day, in this time, and never for us to want people to die and to go to hell. But God was concerned about this woman. So she's saying here in that 15th verse, it said, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. I don't want to come here and draw this water, you know, because I don't want to continue to come. You know, I didn't even think in my mind that, you know, the people that was that she would have met at the well if she went at certain times. And, you know, the way that people turn their nose up or people shun her because of her lifestyle. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. But you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. In that said you truly. God letting her know that I have read your book. I know you. I read your life. I know your life. She's thinking that this is, I just met you. And I just met you today. And I'm just conversating with you at the well, but it was a divine connection. I believe this was a divine connection for Jesus to meet this woman because he wanted to change her life. And he began to let her know. He began to let her know by the gift of knowledge that, hey, you well said that you don't have a husband, though, but you have had five husbands. And he whom thou now have, the one that you're living with, the one you may be sleeping with, he's not your husband. and that you say it truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She knew that that wasn't the average man that she was speaking to. It wasn't somebody that in her circle, but it was somebody that was speaking to her truth. Somebody that knew her life, and she never have met or spent time with him before. And that's how it is with Jesus Christ. You may not have spent time with him, but Jesus knows your life. He knows your lifestyle. He knows what you did 10 years ago. He knew what you did 5 years ago. He knew the time. Let's go even further back. He knew the time that you were in your mother's womb, even before your birth. Like he told Jeremiah, I knew you. You know, I knew you. Even before he was born, he knew him. So, therefore, Jesus, it's not that we have a hidden agenda or we have a hidden things in our life is hidden, but Jesus knows these things. And he was letting her know. It wasn't a crowd around about her. I believe she and Jesus was the only one at this well at that time. So he began to let her know that I know you. I know about you. And he wasn't trying to put her down, but he was trying to build her faith. And then she said, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She said, our father worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what we know, what we worship. But salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So he letting her know it's not the where you are. It's not if you're on the other side of the world. It's not that you go to a certain place, but Jesus letting her know that the true worshiper shall worship the Father in the Spirit. My word is spirit. My word is true. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. In that 24th verse, it reads, God is a spirit. Let's read that again. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, must worship him in the spirit and in the truth. I believe that word there tells us a lot. The only way that we can worship God is in the spirit and in the truth, because he said, my word is true. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. He said that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. And here the word of God says in the 25th verse of the 4th chapter of St. John, and the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. See, she knew a little bit now. It's not that she was ignorant, but she knew a little bit. She said, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And in that 26th verse, Jesus said to her, I that speak to you am he. She's talking about when Christ is going to come, he's going to tell us all things. She didn't know that she was speaking of to Christ himself. I that speak to you am he. I'm the one that you're looking for. I'm the one that has the answer. I'm the one that loves you. I'm the one that can save you. I'm the one that can deliver you. I am the one that can bring you out of darkness unto this marvelous light. Come on. This is essence, what he's saying, and this is what he is saying to you and I today. You don't have to look for another. You look to Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. And in that 27th verse it says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked. They were surprised that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seek you? Why talk you with her? See, they knew that the tradition and the law and how the Samaritans didn't have, the Jews didn't have any dealing with the Samaritan. They were wondering why Jesus was talking to her as well. And the Jews then, he was teaching them as well. They needed to be taught. They need to know the love of God. Even people that are say that they're saved, that they need to know in a greater way the love of God, because Jesus came to seek and to save them that are lost. This is a prime example when Jesus went through Samaria to see about this woman at the well. And then in that 28th verse, the woman then left her water pot. She left the water pot and went her way unto the city and said to the men. She didn't go to the women because she was very comfortable with the men. That's those men that she was comfortable with. Those are the ones that talked to her. Those are the ones that was in her circle. And so, therefore, the word of God said that she went away into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? Jesus already told her that he is. But she said, is not this the Christ that told me all the things that I've done, all the things that I did? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. It wasn't a time at that time. He may have been hungry, but yet I'm not going to eat anything because I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him anything to eat? They were thinking in a college, but they didn't know what Jesus was talking about, to tell you the truth. They did not know what he was talking about. They thinking about, you know, have somebody brought him something to eat? We don't want to get something. But have he eaten while we were gone? But that is not what he was saying. He was clarifying it in that 34th verse. It says, Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not you that there are 4 months and then come harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receiveth wages and gathers fruit to life eternal, that both he that sow, he that reap may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true? One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestow no labor. Other men's labor, and you have entered into their labor. And then the word of God telling them his vision about sowing and reaping. He's letting them know that it's time for them to win souls. It's time to go out into the field, to go out in the harvest, because the harvest is ready. It was ready to harvest. It's ready for people are waiting for you to tell them about him. They're waiting for you to come get them. They're waiting for you to love them enough to care about their soul. If they're waiting for you to know that they need a Savior, that they don't have it all together. Remember when we were sinners, the Bible said we were sinners, but we were saved by the grace of God. The Word of God said we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then the Word of God said, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So here we see that Christ was concerned about souls, and he let them know that the field, you know, the people out there, they are the ones that you need to go out into the field. You need to go out to the field and harvest them. And because they are ready, they want to be saved. They want to come in to eternal life. They need to, and they want to know Christ. So it's time for us to do the same. And in that 39th verse, it reads, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, but we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We thank God for the Word of God this morning. We thank God for the living Word, for the sure Word, the Word that is able to deliver us from our sin, our transgression, deliver us from wrong thoughts, deliver us from lying, deliver us from thievery, deliver us from prejudices, deliver us from hatefulness. I mean, to deliver us from hypocrisy, but all the things that man go through, all the things that we need to be delivered from. You know, God wants to deliver from pride. You know, God came to seek and to save all of us, that we can be saved, that we can know him as the Lord and Savior, because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. We're so getting ready to go before the throne of grace on this morning. I pray, God, that your soul has been revived. I pray, God, that the Lord Jesus has touched you in a way that only he can touch you. That song say, I've been touched by the hand of the Lord. Even as the woman of the well, she had been touched by God. She needed someone just to talk with her. She needed somebody that cared. You know, somebody out of all of the people that was there. You know, sometimes we get so busy going our own way, doing our own thing. You know, we're shopping, we're on the phone, we're trying to do this and that. But what about the harvest? What about the field? What about the people that are out there that need to be saved? What about them? If Jesus took the time to go to Samaria to see about this woman, don't you know that we ought to take the time to see about those that are not saved and those that are in the nursing home, those that are in the hospitals, those that are in places for recovery, those that are that need to be encouraged, those that are lonely, I mean, those that are in despair. Don't you know that we need to see about them? Don't you know that we need to care about them? Don't you know that we need to pray for them? I mean, we can change lives if we just even just pray for people and call their name out before the Most High God. And then I just believe that God would give you that boldness and you could be courageous like God told Joshua. Come on. I mean, he spoke to the man of God to be courageous. God wants courageous men and women, boys and girls, to go forth for him. You know, the word says we don't know the day or the hour that he's coming. The word says he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. So today, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're coming and we're going through before the throne of grace in behalf of his people, those that are lost, those that are saved, those that are downtrodden, those that think that they're hopeless, not realizing that Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. No matter what you've done, even if you're a backslider, God is married to the backslider. No matter, don't beat yourself up because of the fact that you backslide. Don't beat yourself up. Just ask God to forgive you for your sins. Lord, forgive me. Restore me. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. Show me how to live for you the rest of my life. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise thy name. We thank you for all that you have done. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all, God, that you're going to do. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for this woman at the well. God, we've all been women at the well. We've all been men at the well that needed you to come by and to see us, Lord God. So I ask you today, Lord God, Lord, to have your way. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for seeing about us. Thank you, God, for being faithful to us. Thank you for being just to us. Thank you, Lord God, for making us overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being concerned about us today and every day of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to breathe. Lord Jesus, God, you allow us to breathe a breath of life. Lord God, so yet another day that we can reach out to others. Another day that, God, we can give thanksgiving and praises unto you. For Lord Jesus, we pray even today that you will have your way. God, that you will move in the midst of the people. God, that you will bring restoration, God, to the nation. God, that you will cause healing power, your healing power, to be manifested, God, all over this world, those that are sick, Lord God. Father, we pray healing. God, those that are depressed, Lord Jesus, we pray healing. God, those with mental diseases, bipolar, schizophrenia, Lord God, we pray healing. God, even right now, in the name of Jesus. God, somebody has been given a bad report. Lord Jesus, Lord, we pray even now. That, Lord, even the woman touched your garment, God, and this woman was made whole after being 12 years and had an issue of blood, losing blood for 12 years, and yet she touched you. And immediately, God, it wasn't yesterday, the day afterwards, but it was that day, Lord God, that this woman was healed, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, even as you brought the healing about in this woman instantaneously, I pray, God, even now, that their healing will be manifested in their bodies. Lord, if somebody's blind, Lord, let them see today. Father, let them see spiritually, and God, let them see physically. Let their eyes be open. Blindness, I command you in the mighty name of Jesus to obey God's word. I come in the name of Jesus, blindness. I command you to lose your hold, and those that are blind, that they can see. Father, I thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, those that are crippled. Lord God, the man that was that was in John, the 5th chapter, I believe, that could not walk and was slammed by the pool for 38 years. Lord Jesus, I mean, a 38-year experience of not being able to walk. And yet you told him to take up his bed and walk. God, those that can't walk, Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and you will be forever. And I pray, God, even now, that they will receive that healing upon their body. God, even right now, in the name of Jesus, leukemia, I command you healing upon those with leukemia, those with diabetes. I command in Jesus' name, Father God, in Jesus' name, that they be healed. Those with heart problems, Father, that they be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you right now. Colon cancer, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you and we praise your name for all that you have done and all you're going to do according to your word. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, right now. And Lord, Father, for those that are not saved, you're able to save to the uttermost. You said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you said that we shall be saved. Father, we thank you for the salvation, Father God, of your people. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We want to invite you to come back with us on Friday. Call a neighbor, call a friend today, and let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast comes on at 9 o'clock, and for them to tune in so they can hear what God has for them. May God bless and keep you. It is our prayer. Have a God-blessed day.